I've got a, they were selling a little bit of merch during the pandemic, and I've got a pint glass that says, Galway Bay, we'll be back worse than ever.
That's cool, too.
Yeah. They do sell merch.
They do?
Yeah, they've got a hoodie that's for sale. They used to have this really cool hoodie that
they got rid of. Sell it?
That's for sale.
For sale.
No, no, but do they sell
it? Oh, yeah. Well,
what do you mean?
I see people wearing them. I haven't seen anybody hand over money for them.
Selling them and actually selling them.
Like the merch here.
Do you sell it?
They've got a small display case up, as a matter of fact, like we were talking about this morning.
You need a display case next to the bar.
So what? Give me the hard numbers on their sales.
He doesn't know.
How the hell would
I
know?
Privy to those figures?
Well, you stood behind the bar for 3 years, so were you constantly bugged by drunken Trixies from Linkin Park saying,
"Can I buy
a t-shirt?"
No, not one of them asked me for a t-shirt. They all wanted high noons. None of them wanted t-shirts.
Well,
yeah,
they're
saving their money for booze, not t-shirts.
Yeah, I wasn't there to sell merch. I was there to sell dreams.
Yep. Piano Man. You're really like the Piano Man.
I am. That's what
you are. The Piano Man.
Yeah, that's why I play. That's why I learned the instrument to begin with, is because I heard that song and I said, "I want to sell dreams at Galway Bay."
I thought of a great song for you today.
What is it?
It'd be funny. What if Elton John sung instead of the actual lyrics, "Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza"?
Yeah.
You could build a whole funny song out of it.
Oh, I do that all the time already.
Parody songs?
I say Tony Danza.
Like Weird Al?
Well, Hold Me Closer, Tony Danza is kind of a common... People have done it.
Oh, they have?
Yeah. And I get what you're
not
saying,
original.
Build a whole thing off of it, but...
song parody?
It'd be a little hacky.
And then you'd have to like come up with lyrics that fit Tony Danza's career.
Right,
Taxi,
something
Who's
like
the Boss?
It'd be all about Who's the Boss. That's all anybody knows anymore. Nobody knows that he's on Taxi. Nobody even knows what Taxi is.
No. I have a shirt that has Taxi on it. Mark gave me.
I used to love that show when I was a kid. Danny DeVito, Andy Kaufman. Who else was famous on there?
Judd Hirsch.
Yeah.
Jeff Conaway.
Yeah.
Mary Lou Henner one for the dads, as they say.
Yeah. Brian McGann loves
Mary Lou. What does one for the Gipper mean? A Gip for the Gipper? Is that what it is?
It's from a movie.
No. One for the dads is a British
expression. That's different. Yeah, but
one for the Gipper?
It's a different
Ronald Reagan movie. Ronald Reagan football movie where he says, "Let's win this one for the Gipper."
Is that it? Really?
Yeah, I don't remember the name of the movie.
I thought it was way different.
Don't
than
they
that.
Use it in Airplane? And that's how most people know it.
A Gip for the Gipper.
No, I don't remember.
Isn't that what they
Airplane.
Say? I thought people say that at bars or something. Like, and one Gip for the Gipper, or like, you know, you toss in a coin.
One for the Gipper.
Yeah.
One for the Gipper.
That's not it, though.
Not
huh?
a Gip for the Gipper.
Oh, okay. Well, what is a Gipper?
Is this
hacky too?
Is it like a kipper?
What's a kipper?
Kipper is a fish that you eat for breakfast.
Ew.
Nobody eats fish for
Smoke
breakfast.
Me
Actually,
a kipper.
I had fish for breakfast today.
You did? Salmon?
I put salmon in my salad, yeah. I always
really?
Do, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
What are you fixing to do with them viz?
All right, so I thought of a great new segment. It's a mashup, right? It's Viz's top tips, which we've never done before.
Mm.
People send in top tips, but you're going to read them in the style of Sling Blade.
Okay.
All right.
Let me get ready.
Let's each do a character.
So do the first one as Sling Blade.
I've got new glasses. Did you notice?
Commit.
These are my everyday glasses. Now
those are everyday.
They're progressives. I can see you and I can see this
print. Everyday glasses.
$700 for these.
No, it wasn't. You
lying. Yeah, it was. They're that much. They cost that much.
What happened to your child molester glasses?
Well, you shamed me into not wearing them. Those are just readers, though.
You know there's glasses
God,
over there
here.
That cost $1.20.
These are actual glasses that I wear everywhere. They're progressive lenses.
What, you mean?
And they're Japanese.
They vote for healthcare.
Yeah.
I'm on fire today.
Yeah. No,
it's on fire in here. It's 150
it
degrees.
It is warm.
Chryson.
I know.
Crutch.
Go on then. New segment. Commit.
Right. Why is it called commit? Wait, I got to get my warm up Sling Blade before I read any of this copy. I reckon you want to know what it is I'm doing in here. I reckon you want to know why I killed somebody.
Avoid leaving embarrassing floaters in the toilet by sprinkling a handful of ball bearings or lead shot onto every meal. Mm.
Did you get that? That was what you wanted me to read?
Yeah, it wasn't very good.
Well, hold on. All right. Here we go.
But you kind of skated through
this
it.
This is a...
You should have done it.
I got to do it one breath.
You've got to do it in the middle.
Okay. What is this even about? This is apropos of nothing. These are tips for what?
Top tips.
So avoid leaving embarrassing floaters in the toilet by sprinkling a handful of ball bearings or lead shot onto every meal. I don't get that.
Oh, I kind of get that. I used to tell a joke that like I would eat toilet paper after every meal and then I wouldn't have to wipe.
Oh, that's clever.
If you ate lead, you wouldn't have a floating turd.
Oh, right. All right, here's one. In the voice of Carl from Sling Blade.
Railers, suggest to your wife that you tell each other your teenage crushes and pretend to be them in the bedroom. Then tell her your crush was the woman on the Shake and Back adverts.
Something about the voice.
Not only will you have a fantasy romp,
I can't follow what's going on.
But your bedroom carpet will be lovely and fragrant.
You stuck the landing. You really did. You're going to have GURP for a week now.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, God.
Wilts, reading your hard copy of Viz, draw emoticon under each panel. Mm-hmm. So that people who you lend it to afterwards will know what you thought of it. I-G-E-G, a smiley face if you thought the panel was funny. Or more likely a sad face if it didn't make you laugh.
You know what the listener doesn't get out of this? The listener doesn't get the face that you're really committing to the Sling Blade, sticking the lip out.
Yeah, well, you have to do
the bottom lip. Yeah.
A huge underbite to do the voice.
Yeah.
Then the sound comes from like your jaw.
Yeah. Oh, I see. I see what you mean. Your ear. Yep.
You call it Sling Blade. I call it Gator Blade.
Do we want me to keep going with these?
Oh, I think it failed.
I know. It didn't go well?
I wish I had my applause.
Why? Because you couldn't understand what I was saying?
I enjoyed it because I couldn't understand what you're saying.
I'll try one more.
That was the best part.
This is a short
try to make it a little more coherent. Yeah, but...
Well, you want me to work in the I don't know where you would...
I want to be able to follow along with what's happening. So put,
I'm not going to do any uh-huhs.
Put some emphasis on the important words.
All right. It's hard to know when I'm reading this for the first time.
Peach slices placed in a bowl of water will fool your neighbors.
Water. I should say water.
Okay. Are you going to interrupt me?
will fool your neighbors into dinging you goldfish.
There we go. Yeah.
Add peach halves for koi. Mm.
Yeah, that was the best one. The emphasis sucked. Did everything there.
Now I'm losing the voice. It's messing up my whole voice. Hmm.
And then I just saw red. I saw Jesse was going at it on my mother. Mm-hmm. And I just saw red. I sit there, grab that Kaiser blade. Some people call it a Sling Blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. And I hit Jesse upside the head with it. Mm-hmm. I guess I killed him.
I think the readers should write in with a yes or no to keep the segment.
Yeah.
The readers.
Oh, we got listeners. Listen, every time I leave the house, which is not often, except when come here.
Despite your full life.
The people reading the transcripts of this podcast.
I run into somebody who happened to be listening to the show.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You mean the missus coming back in?
Not my missus.
From the shops.
Not my missus. I do want to give a shout out to my missus. I know she's listening. It's October 31st. No, August 31st. I don't know when you're hearing this, but this morning on August 31st was magical. What we did together, we had never done, and I won't soon forget it. You took me around the world. Thank you to my wife for one of the best mornings of my life. All right.
Yeah, I gotta go. I think.
You should have had some romantic music over the top.
Oh, I know. Yeah. I was too distracted by
it. Yeah, you were. It was like you were listening to a Penthouse letter over there.
It's getting misty over here.
Yeah, getting sweaty.
I got the vapors.
Yeah.
I wonder if they still do letters to
letters, Penthouse letters? Oh, sure, I'm sure.
But there's no hard...
There's no hard copies out there.
Most porn's got to be out of hard copy by now, or do you still see them?
I don't.
Under the hedgerows?
No, I don't. I don't see them on the newsstand. Although, they do have magazines.
I was going to say, I don't...
They're magazines, but so...
I don't shop for mags, so I don't want to see them.
Jewel's got mags, but they don't have dirty mags at Jewel.
No.
Well, let's be on the lookout. Next time you go to a rest stop or truck stop, that's where they'd have them.
Ooh.
What were we about to say before I did the... Oh, I had a new listener. I was at a party the other night.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, I was invited to a party.
Full life.
I have a full life, and some people invited me to a party. I said, sure, I'll go. And I ran to a woman by the name of Janelle Reuter, who was traveling domestically recently and listening to a podcast. And when her podcast ended... Somehow in the queue, our podcast was next.
All right.
And she's like, I listened to the whole thing. And I said, she doesn't talk like that. But then I said, well, which one was it? And she said, oh, I don't know. I go, yeah.
Did she say she liked it?
I don't know. Yeah. I don't know that she said it. I didn't say, did you like it?
Right.
She just wanted me to know that she listened.
She said, it came on and I couldn't reach my phone and I listened to the whole thing.
And I just let it play. Yeah. So thank you, Janelle.
Was she staring awkwardly at a plate of cheese and crackers?
Listen, she brought this up. I didn't bring it up. She wanted to tell me about it. So there's another listener. Do you guys have any new
listeners? Is she from Osaka?
No. Why? Oh, because we do have quite a few listeners in Japan. Do you guys know of any new listeners out there you want to say hello to?
I stopped plugging it.
My sister told me that she doesn't have any notifications set up on her phone, but every once in a while, every Wednesday, she'll get a notification. She'll go, what the fuck? What is this?
Oh, it's us?
Yeah. And she'll say, oh, it's the
podcast. New episode? I don't have those.
I told you, it's the 3 o'clock hotspot.
Yep.
We're sitting right in the sweet spot.
I thought we were going to put it up, release it earlier. Because
no, you said, but I ignored you.
Oh, okay. Well, I was thinking on the way here, we're in season three. We got to be almost close to the end of season three. Yeah?
Yeah, I don't know.
How many episodes of season three?
Pull up the spreadsheet.
Yeah, let's see. Okay, this says we have
done... No, that's the one from 12 weeks ago.
We've done...
You got new figures? You got new data in here?
Episodes in season three.
I just updated the online.
We haven't even started season three.
Yeah, we're deep into season three.
We're doing Pat and Oswald today.
We'll see season three.
No, this is just a very old sheet.
All right.
I could bring up Google Drive, but it's going to take a bit.
Right, well, yeah, we don't need more dead air on this podcast.
But what I want to make mention of is the fact that, like, we were talking about some other podcasts that we know of. And I don't think anyone's more prolific out there in the podcast world than us.
We are the most prolific.
We just keep churning out episodes. Mm-hmm. Boom. You never miss. No one's ever going to miss an episode.
Nope.
Every week there's a new episode coming out. Bang.
And other people have
bang.
Sponsors and listeners and all these reasons to do it, and we just keep doing it anyway.
Yeah, we're doing it.
Well, he's trousering all the Bagain stuff.
Yeah, we got Bagain on board.
Yeah, start spreading the wealth over there.
Yeah.
Mr. O'Donnell.
It's all high end fucking lunches.
Yeah, Mr. $700 sunglasses, regular glasses.
Yeah.
$700 eyeglasses I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Glasses for your eyes. They were. All right, well, I don't know if I'm going to make it through this episode without fainting.
Why?
Because it is so hot. Is there anywhere to bring air into this room?
We could just open the door.
Wave that door back and forth. Christ, it's like a fart locker.
Does that really work?
Sure.
It's not that bloody warm. Jesus, grow a pair, man.
I think I'm not well. I'm exhausted.
All right, so we are taping the 8th episode of season 3.
That's it? Oh, we're not near it.
Season
we
3 has been
27 and 2.
Holmes, Traeger, Murphy, Segura, Berlin, Armisen, Tomlinson, Nataro.
And today's Tig Nataro.
Well, I got more on the agenda.
Yeah, go. Go.
I went to see Coyote versus Acme yesterday.
Oh, I wanted to see that.
Great.
It was good?
Yeah, great.
I saw my favorite comedic actor, Will Forte's in there.
Well, one of my favorite comedians Did you see Baskets?
No.
With, no?
No.
Martha Kelly?
No.
She was one of the people
the
that...
show Baskets?
She was one of the people that the Chicago Comedy Festival broke and actually went somewhere.
What, the Chicago Comedy Festival wrapped up in 2001.
Yeah.
And she broke out of that? Yeah. Martha Kelly?
She got on Conan. She got
after
on
that?
Yeah.
I don't remember her.
No, Conan's scout enlisted her at the festival. He must have missed your set somehow, but Martha Kelly, next thing you know, she's on Conan.
Martha Kelly, I don't remember. Was she a local?
No, no.
You brought her in?
Yeah, she's fucking great.
Martha Kelly, she's still out there working?
The last thing she did was Baskets, where she was perfect. Oh, Kelsey knows the thing she's in. Apparently she plays this sinister, really sinister woman in something on HBO.
Hmm. Martha Kelly. You know about this, yeah. Martha Kelly?
No.
No, yeah. But I'm really, like, I've been on the fence for a couple of years. Like, okay, should I just reach out?
Yes, you and launched her career. Again, another launch by the Lodge.
Get her to the Lodge. God, she is and was funny.
Martha Kelly, I have to look her up. Yeah. Well, does she have a special we could watch here on
no,
the program?
I was looking.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what else you have on your agenda. I feel pressure every week to bring in gifts. It's like...
It was your idea.
I know. I've been trying to stop this. It's out of control.
Well, then let's stop.
Let's stop. We can. No. Doesn't mean you can't ever bring in gifts. I like to bring them in every week.
I like doing it anyway, yeah, but I don't. I never feel like I have to every week.
No.
I know you made that rule. But.
Oh, this is... See, your gifts are too generous.
Yeah. I know your manhood has been waning, shall we say.
Waning?
Take this drill, and it now
ooh,
the missus is going to look at you through whole new eyes.
Today
you become a man.
Yeah, man.
Do you not own a drill?
Man with drill.
Is this your first drill?
Who's that? Who does that?
Tim Allen.
Knows
that.
I promise you a drill. I delivered.
This is nice.
Is this your first one?
It's my first drill.
Wow.
I've got an electric screwdriver.
Yeah, which is about as much use as an electric.
It doesn't really do much. You can't really do much with it. Listen, thank you so much for this drill.
And it's got the chuck key.
It does?
Ooh.
People always lose the chuck key.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you need that. Thank you. Your gifts are always so expensive and generous. I was just watching something on VHS yesterday. You're going to love this. Somebody gave me a copy of B-Rock. Not somebody. One of our listeners, B-Rock, gave me a copy of 8. You know what happened on... August 8th, 1988. A VHS, like, taped with the date on it.
88. Some Cubs bullshit.
Yeah. The first night game at Wrigley Field.
Oh, yeah.
And it's a copy of the entire broadcast and, like, all the, like, news footage, the news afterwards, WGN, the commercials, all that shit. It's amazing. The game actually wasn't finished.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Because it got rained out.
I got a couple of films.
Films?
Yeah, films.
I got a couple of films.
We've covered that.
What's that?
And,
it's a film.
Oh,
one
films.
Of them had the ads in the middle, so I watched it all. You know, it was like someone had
like
recorded.
Like movie of the week? Like V?
Yeah, or whatever. Yeah, something like that. But then they used to throw in the middle of the film, there was like a little 3 or 4 minute news broadcast where they'd sort of rapid fired.
Yeah, give you a preview of the news to come. Yeah.
Yeah,
like coming up on the evening news.
No, it was even
now back
more
to
than
your
that.
Movie.
No, it was more than that. It was like 3 or 4 minutes. Yeah, like you know, this is the top stories today, and didn't just like, oh, we're gonna tell you this on the news. So it was really weird.
Oh, well, news snippet.
Sorry, anyway, I interrupted your Cubs thing.
Well, anyway, I just brought that up only to say that I'm just loving the VCR. You know,
How about your Cubbies?
How about them?
Are you happy with them right now? They're back to second place, right?
Well, the team is actually showing some weaknesses, but
what do you?
It's all been overshadowed by the great Pete Crow Armstrong.
Yeah, that's what I've been hearing. I've been hearing a lot about him.
Of any Cubs player to ever live.
Oh, really? Is he that
statistically,
good?
It's
wow.
He's off the charts, and he's more than likely to win the MVP.
The MVP,
award,
wow,
which is
good for him. MVP for PCA.
Yeah. Which is, I mean.
Just because
amazing.
He called that Sox woman a slag.
You know what? That was a
did
real
he really?
Low point. Yeah.
When?
I was actually at the game yesterday and I saw a woman holding a baby, like her baby girl, like a 10 or 11 month old child. And she had on that shirt that said SFMBDB or whatever that suck my
What is it? I don't
know. That's what PCA said to the woman. They're selling shirts with those.
I'm not familiar with any. Acronym. You're going to have to give me the background of the story. I have no clue.
S-F-M-D-B. Suck my...
Yeah, S-F-M-D-B. Yeah.
So they're selling a lot of those shirts, S-F-M-D-B.
Who did he say this to?
He said it to a gal in the outfield at Comiskey.
Why was she in the outfield?
Great. She was in, like, that patio where you can, like, drink and, like, you're right up against the wall. Yeah. Like, he couldn't get a ball, and she's like, "You suck." And he goes, "SFMDB," right? And
oh,
they got
no.
it on video.
I just understood the DB
they
part,
got it on
too.
Video.
That's
viral. Him
that's
saying
no good.
Fan.
Oh, Jesus.
And that was a real low point for him.
When was that?
That was early in the season when they played the White Sox.
Was it Comiskey? It was one of them ones where it's like the fences almost.
Yeah, it's like a chain link fence.
Yeah.
You can tell that just by his face, you can tell he's that kind of guy.
I don't think he's like...
I look at him, I go, I know who you are.
Like a bro?
I wouldn't even say that's bro behavior. It's a step above or below.
Well, anyway.
However you want to look at it.
He was not doing well at that point. He was... then he had that happen. It's like, this guy's, you know, in for a long season.
Yeah.
And he just turned it around really from that point or shortly thereafter and has been the best player in baseball. So.
Well, maybe she did.
Yeah. Yeah. Maybe she did. And... that's what that's what catapulted him.
I was going to say something.
Yeah, what do you
about?
Got? You
oh,
got
what
another
is this?
Gift.
For you, I've got...
is that Powski's?
Yeah, one of my favorite local yokel prints ever called Fables by Powski.
Oh, my God.
A collection
Powski's
of
Fables.
Short, funny... and that's a big give because I've only got a very limited amount of those
really?
Left.
I don't have Fables, so...
I asked him to sell me a load... one time, and he's like, "This is all I got left."
He sold them all to you?
Yeah, he sold me about half a dozen, and I've just given them away.
How many
every
are left?
Now and again, I think I've got two or three left.
What inspired you to give this one away today?
I'd pulled one out, thinking, "Oh, I'll put that on the gift pile," and then he's got already got his drill today. So
yeah,
you got that.
The lion who feathered his hair.
Yeah, they're hilarious.
I'll read this on the train.
Yeah,
my 2.5-day train ride coming up.
And I asked him, why is the font so goddamn small? And he said, because I really wanted people to be invested in the reading of it. After really
what
try.
What font is it? Like a?
It's just micro fucking Scopic.
It's tiny.
Yeah.
It's like the copyright in the back of a pack of bubblegum.
Yeah.
How about Small and Wrong? You got any copies of Small and Wrong?
That's one
hardcover.
Copy.
Well, yeah, I mean, I have one too. Yeah, that's another collector's item.
Well, this is a
great Powski.
This is a good gift. Thank you, Mark.
Yeah, we can maybe get Powski in here to talk about it sometime. Would you? Yeah.
Yeah, you go for it.
Yeah. Sign that for you. I can get Powski over here.
Who's that?
The author of Fables.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is Thax Douglas still alive? Thinking of poetry and
you know
Powski.
What? Every couple of years, I'll email Powski and say, "Is Thax still going?" Because he had the best Facebook feed ever.
Yeah,
he used to throw up these like video finds and, you know, interesting articles, and then he got chased off of Facebook by the wokesters, and now was it lost contact with it.
Why is he anti-woke?
No, he just
he seemed like he would be woke.
No, you know when woke went too woke and people, there was this weird thing I found.
Where are we now with woke? What
the youngsters
the
are saying
woke
is they're saying woke is dead.
Woke is dead.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's anti-woke or what?
No, it's not anti-woke. It's just it's gone.
Because the thing is, to me, wokesterism was an awful ploy by the right to keep stoking the wokeism.
Like Antifa. Like
just
how they would always talk about Antifa to paint the liberals as like extremists and everything like that. You're saying the term woke is a creation of the far
no,
right?
No. It's a mechanism. What do you call it? A propaganda mechanism.
Yeah.
You keep you as the right keep stoking people who are just so far out with the bullshit and giving them the voice so that then you can go to the middle grounders and go, "See how fucking lunatic these people are?"
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, just because one person said, "I'm glad what's-his-face got shot." What was the guy? I can't remember his name.
John F. Kennedy.
No, the what's it?
George Floyd.
John Lennon.
George Floyd wasn't shot.
You know
John Lennon.
Was.
Oh, the President Reagan.
The big right-wing twat this year got shot.
Oh, Charlie Kirk.
Yeah. Just because one person said, well, I'm glad he got shot, what you as the right can then go to the middle ground.
Everybody
is,
over there thinks.
Everyone thinks this is what everyone thinks on the left. And it's like, well, no, you're just pulling one extreme voice. And I think the right have been always incredibly smart about presenting that mm-hmm. to the middle and going.
And vice versa.
And going, if you believe in the left, if you think the left are okay, this is what they stand for. And it's like, no, that's just some idiot.
Yeah, turnabout, same way with the left painting the right as extreme as well. It's just polarizing politics. You know?
Yeah. Hmm. It's the internet. Yeah. That's the entire internet.
What were we talking about? Oh, so Thax was saying some stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And he was very like, Jesus, I'm just tired of this ultra woke bullshit. Mm. And of course, he runs in poetry circles.
Oh, very well.
So
crowd.
You can imagine what happened. Mm. And I think his actual, you know what? I know this for a fact. The comment that triggered him leaving social media was, I think in a few years' time, the only culture left will be black culture, which the Pylon Brigade took that as he thinks black people are pushing white people out, blah, 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 blah. And what he said is no, what I actually meant was it's the only culture that will be relevant. White culture will be so overrun with bullshit and pointlessness. Mm. And then he said, but fuck you all, I'm leaving. Just kind of left.
And he went radio silent?
Radio silent. Haven't heard anything since?
Yeah. Wow. Good for him.
Yep.
You know, washing himself of social media. How active are you, Christian, on social media?
I don't have anything.
None? Mm-mm. I wouldn't think so with the phone situation. What's with the phone? I haven't seen the flip, the jitterbug.
Yeah. Actually, I went back to use it recently, and none of my texts were coming through. And it was one of those days like, I don't have time for this right now.
Yeah.
I can't be messing around figuring like, okay, why isn't it working now? And it did. It started slowing down a lot, too. I don't think those flip phones are meant for, like, every day, if you use it a lot, you know, I think it's meant
to
be
worn out and tired.
Yeah, yeah,
you get tired.
Like
the data,
like you'd hit like the menu button and it would take a few seconds to load. Yeah. And at first, it was right away, everything was instant, but then it started slowing down, you know. Then you're typing with those little buttons, you're doing the T9 and it's missing them because you can't keep up with you. And then, you know, then all of a sudden you're not getting texts and you're like, all right, screw this, I'm done.
Well, there is a whole, have you followed any of the anti tech movement?
No, but you know what I started doing instead? I'll just turn my phone off all the way and I'll just leave it at home.
Yeah, that's a good way. Yeah,
I just turn it off if I don't need it for the day. If I don't have to come here.
What about
something.
Your missus if she's trying to get a hold of you?
Yeah, well, yeah. There's
my
other ways.
I'll
message her on Gmail, you know, and I'll say I'll be checking my laptop every once in a while. Other than that, I might be out of the house. I might be gone. You might not hear from me for a while, and that's just it.
I tell my missus I put my phone down for maybe 3 hours at a time and walk away from mm-hmm. it. That did not go down well.
If you put it down and walk away from it,
yeah,
she doesn't like it. She wants you accessible
on the hook all the time.
Yeah, mine doesn't care at all. She kind of encourages it. She's always like, yeah, go see ya.
So that tells me then that you are seeing when I text and ignoring it, because if your missus requires that you have that phone,
within
reach at all times, you're ignoring all my texts.
I didn't give in. I said that's the way it's going to be.
Good for you.
But if 3 hours and 5 minutes go by and you haven't heard back, then you know he's been ignoring you for a solid five.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, sometimes it's days.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't ever expect really text back. Like, if there's something that important, you just call the person, right? Like, a text is, I know we've talked about this a million times with different things, but it does keep it kind of evolving on this show of, like, what we have established as a text, because I know Mark texts more than he used to. You and I don't really ever text. We do the group chat unless it's necessary. I lost my whole point. It's gone. Mm. Damn. It was probably a really good one too.
Mm. Well, do you not?
Oh yeah, I remember. I feel like if I send somebody a text, I don't expect them to reply. You know, it's kind of like, here's the information. If I really need a reply, I'll call, you know, but there's no timeline. There's no,
at some
like,
point it has to end.
Yeah, and if somebody sends me a text, it's got to be the same thing, you know? Yeah. Like, I'll read it, and here's another thing, too. Let's say Mark texts me, he's like, hey, I left that tool for you on the bench downstairs, right? I'll read that. I'll have the information. I'm not going to say, okay, great, thanks, you know, because that's one more bling that somebody has to look at their phone, open it up, get rid of the little red dot, whatever you have. It's too much.
It's too much.
Just read it and move on with your life. And if you didn't see the text, you're going to figure it out eventually.
Yeah, let's text less. Let's email less.
And I'm so tired. Yeah, I'm tired of the dumb flat glass screens too. Constantly backing up, retyping. You know, it's just.
I'm with you.
Whose idea? I remember the first iPhone I ever saw in like 2000, and it was my friend's dad. He had one. He was typing on it. And I'm looking at him like, "How do you know what buttons you're hitting?" He's like, "No, you just know." And I'm watching like, "No, that's never gonna work." And
the first iPhone.
Everyone went along with it. Yeah, and it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Every time I send a text, I spend more time retyping it than I did.
Yeah.
If I just called the person, you know. It's frustrating.
You want to weigh in on this at all? No, you have nothing to say?
Trying to talk less.
Yeah, I heard a little gurp there.
Yeah, no, I've had a sore throat.
We should get a gurp filter on the mic on that mic. You know how they have like Mark, what's those boxes we were talking about getting? The compressor boxes for the microphones. They should have those for gurp. A GURP compressor. So every time you go,
yeah,
it automatically mutes it out.
So I was talking to somebody, a listener, the other night, and they said that, wow, you've really started to come alive on the show. Like they said, maybe it's the weight loss, the healthy living, that like your spirits are really up on the show. I didn't notice it as much because, you know.
He's already on fire today.
Right, but have you noticed an elevated mood this past month with the...
Not particularly.
No? Yeah, you're up.
I was actually thinking the other day, this podcast was meant to lift me.
Yeah.
It's had the opposite effect.
Oh.
I feel even smugger and even more disconnected.
Oh.
A year and a half in.
Do you listen to the episodes?
No.
You should start listening to the episodes.
Yeah, you should.
I can barely get through the edit of them, and I only have to listen to myself a tiny bit.
Yeah, you don't like hearing yourself.
No. It's repellent to me.
Well, I'm sad to hear you say that, but, you know, people are noticing an elevated mood from you, which is a good sign, I think.
All right, well, I'll put the nicks on that.
Okay. Go back to being sad again.
He was whistling the other day, walking around.
You throwing out coasters?
I'm organizing.
Okay. Well, let me give you what I got you. I had to get you something every day. I've got to get you something. I've got two girlfriends. I've got to.
You can ask for it back at the end, like you normally
do. That was one time.
Like one of those people that's like, "Can I get a ride home with you?" And the person's like, "I'm leaving." You're like, "I guess I gotta go."
Yes, I am. But I'm actually excited to give you this, Christian. You inspired me last week with such a nice gift of. Spinach pie and baklava.
Yeah.
That I was at the Mideast Market up in Andersonville, the Middle East Bakery this morning. Because you got to go on Mondays. Is that your neighborhood? No.
So I didn't mean to cut you off.
No, that's not. I go out of the way.
Oh.
I said Mondays is when all the fresh stuff comes in from the bakery. So you're each going home with a nice big Syrian bread.
Oh, wow.
It's lovely Syrian bread.
I get the same? Awesome. Frisbee on over here.
It's nice.
This
and
looks
it's
great.
Fresh. Feel how soft it is.
Oh,
like,
my God. This is soft.
It's like a pillow.
It's like a sponge.
Yeah, so what you want to do is when you get home, just put that right in the freezer.
Yeah, 100%.
And then you take one out when you want it. In like 3 minutes, it softens to its normal state.
What do they...
Syrian bread.
What do they flavor it with?
There's no flavor. Look, it's only like three ingredients. It's like flour, yeast, and water.
What's the brown stuff?
It's just from the oven.
It's a toast.
Yeah.
Toasted
color.
Have you
ever had Syrian bread? It's like
pita
bread.
I've never
been
to Syria.
It's Lebanese more than anything. It's like pita, but it's very thin and soft. And so what you like to do is you can open it and have two halves of it and then put whatever you want in and make a Syrian sub. Like you put your meat or whatever in there. But I use it every day to put a salad in and I wrap it up like a burrito and have a nice salad.
That sounds good.
Beautiful lunch every day. So try that.
I'm excited.
That was a nice gift.
It was a nice gift.
What do you got?
All right, yeah.
You got a bag of something.
I got
over
a. Yeah, I'm gonna.
It's like hard candy. Is it saltwater taffy?
No. Oh. Don't get too excited.
No.
Hey. This is Bill's.
It's one for each of you. They are two cornbread muffins.
Say, oh, good.
From
I'll eat that right now.
From Smoke Barbecue.
Oh, Smoke.
Yeah.
Did you recently have their barbecue?
I did, and I did it via Too Good To Go.
Oh,
so
I didn't see them on there.
I didn't know that they even had Too Good To Go. Borky lives by Smoke Barbecue, so I was in the area, and I was looking to see what was around for when I was heading home. Okay, so I saw, I'm like, oh my God, Smoke Barbecue. So I got a $5 bag, and I stopped on my way back, and I'm thinking.
A $5 surprise bag?
For $5, and I'm thinking Smoke Barbecue, I mean.
You're going to get some rib tip.
They're like.
You're not going to get the brisket.
They're exactly, they're upscale, like that's, it's pricey barbecue for a reason, because it's such good quality. I love that place. I've ordered from there plenty of times. So I stop by, and I'm expecting a little, you know, sample of something, maybe a little like macaroni and cheese or something like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I get there, and I walk in, and they disappear. I say, yeah, I'm here to pick up the Too Good To Go. And the lady, oh, she's very excited, very friendly staff. I've never been inside. I always got it delivered.
Do you feel shame when you come into a place to say, I'm here for the Too Good To Go?
Not
it's
at
like,
all.
I'm here for the dumpster.
I feel like a hero.
You do?
Yeah.
I feel shame.
No, I'm doing something good. So I walk in, I tell her, and she says, thank you for being here, you hero. And I said, thank you for saying that.
Yeah, right.
She did. And then everybody
clapped. So what'd you get?
Everybody clapped for me. And then somebody walked out and they handed me this bag and it was 20 pounds. I'm like, what? I've hit the jackpot.
You only paid $5?
Yeah, I paid $5. I get it home. I pull it out. There's this huge container, like 6-inch tall, 4-inch wide container, like plastic Cambro container, full of some sort of chili. Mm. Like it may as well have been brisket chili.
Mm.
Hmm.
This other container full of andouille sausage and other,
oh my God.
I'm thinking like brisket, also gumbo.
Oh.
A container of rice.
Oh.
And three cornbread muffins.
That's a haul.
It yeah. was like a haul. I text
dinner for four.
I text Alberto about it. I couldn't believe it. Everything went in the freezer right away. I'm like, this is going to be great in January when I can't ride my bike anywhere. Mm-hmm. You know, this is this.
Hmm.
I do this every year around this time. I start stockpiling all sorts of just like, you know, things that like, oh my God, this is going to be fantastic in the middle of February when it's miserable outside and I can't go anywhere.
You're
so,
like a red squirrel.
I am. Yeah.
So Alberto fly upstairs
so,
and sample
well,
it all?
Alberto's in Finland right now. So so I text him and I said, I just got a Too Good To Go bag and I sent him a picture of everything I got. Apparently, it's the white whale of Too Good To Go. He said, I've been trying to get Smoke's Too Good To Go bag for years and it is sold out instantly every time.
So must have been just
I must have gotten
on, right?
so lucky.
Yeah, I've never
signed,
seen it.
As soon as they released it, I must have just happened to have tapped on
yeah.
it. And I, oh my God, it was.
Have you gotten in on this, Mark, this Too Good To Go stuff?
I mentioned
you got
it
to.
I mentioned it to my missus and she started already looking at it.
Have yeah. you seen anything you liked on there?
We just haven't pulled the trigger on it yet. I refuse to install apps on my phone, so it's going to have to be her that initiates.
Come on now. You have apps on your phone. What's another app?
Yeah. I only install an app if there's a gun to my head.
Well.
Well, we don't want it to come to that.
Yeah.
But,
it's a little, it's a little much.
Clearly, some of it. This muffin's excellent,
isn't it? Yeah, yeah. Right. So, yeah, I ate the one muffin, put the rest in the freezer. These are the two muffins.
No, you're not supposed to be having these carbs. I don't think
so they're not. It's
take
corn
that from you. No, him.
Yeah, but it's
corn's
corn.
Carb?
No, it's not. It's a starch.
Starch is carb.
No, it's not.
You know what? I've made a total pig's ear of eating this.
What's
I started
oh yeah,
picking.
So the one that I ate, I did the same thing. It just turned into a mess. It's yeah. it's gonna go that way no matter how you do it.
No, I'll just when I get home, I'll dump it on a plate.
Yeah, I ended up just dumping it in my mouth.
Where are we at with the weight loss, and when is this gonna end?
It ends at 45 pounds.
Oh, okay. So last week,
I'm
what was it? 24.
I'm still at 20.
Oh, you've
I thought
put
we were
on
22.
To. You were 22.
Was I?
Oh, I thought maybe even a little higher, but. 24?
I don't think it was 24.
I've never gone 22. To
24. For sure.
22? Yeah. No.
But then didn't you say also that some came back on because I can't remember.
Yeah, you
why.
Had a bender, a chalky
no,
bender.
It was,
you fell off the wagon, the chocolate
your friends
wagon.
Came in from
fell off the Willy
no,
Wonka,
birthday.
The Willy Wonka wagon.
Stuff for birthday.
Yeah, and you went wild.
No, but
oh,
then
yeah.
I did plummet back down again.
Mm. So what are we at now?
You said 20. You're around 20.
Yeah,
we're at 20.
20, yeah. It's right. Tough sledding from here on in.
Yeah, because you're getting down to, yeah, you've lost all the easy stuff.
The easy stuff's gone.
Yeah.
Why don't you come to the Y with me? I'll put you through a regimen of exercises.
My knees till bollocks.
Do you go to the Y that's on Irving? I know we've talked about this before, but I don't remember if we.
I go to the Lakeview Y. Yeah. Over on near Ashland.
I'm thinking ordering.
Ordering the Y.
Yeah, I'm going to order the Y. Have it delivered.
I want to be in a high end club. You know. Like
I've gone
East Soho.
I've gone as a guest to some of those crazy Soho. Gyms that like at the top of. A buddy of mine had a membership to a
Soho
gym
House.
That was in, it wasn't that one. It was in the Sears Tower, like way at the top. He asked me if I wanted to go and I said, okay. And I said, but I have to go home and get a bunch of stuff. He said, just show up. Just trust me. And I said, I don't have clothes to wear.
What club is this?
I don't remember. This is a long time ago. And he said, just show up.
Club Aqua?
I showed up. They had shorts for me. They had a shirt. They had slippers to wear in the shower. They had, if I wanted to shave, they had razors and
wowza.
Yeah, it couldn't have been cheap. But I mean, you're doing the same thing you're doing at any Y. You know, you're still on the same treadmill,
right?
You know, you're still on the same lifting the same dumbbells. You just have a view of the whole city rather than watching the view.
Yeah, it's all a distraction from actually working out.
Right. Yeah.
What about that one up the road on Milwaukee that's run by ex-cons?
Oh, the CrossFit place?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ooh, that sounds hard, Scrabble.
you sometimes see them running.
They're always running up and down the sidewalk. I'm always getting in their way.
CrossFit?
Yeah. Acting like I don't know. Excuse me.
Have you had that knee looked at yet?
Nope.
You need to have it looked at. I'm sure your missus is telling you the same thing.
No, because I sort of gloss over it a bit.
I've been barking up the x-ray tree for a while.
What do you got going? Bad knee?
No. I've just been saying, hey, why don't you get an x-ray? Yeah.
Barking up for him. Okay.
Right, yeah, advocating.
All right, well, before we get into Tig Notaro, how do you say it? Notaro?
It's Notaro.
Notaro?
Yeah, it's Tig Notaro.
Let's talk about, you know, the loss of Dolly Parton, which has happened since we were last together.
Hmm.
How are you guys taking it?
It was fine.
It's fine, yeah.
You're not upset about it?
I did. I was telling Christian, I did track down. So my dad had this I call it the 3D Sunday. He had three cassettes that got played every weekend. First one was Neil Diamond.
What
second one?
One,
just the best of. Then the best of John Denver, and then a Dolly Parton one. That I knew roughly had to be a compilation. And
like,
I actually.
Like covers or something?
But Dolly Parton had over 200 compilations she released.
What do you mean compilations? You mean
like
covers?
Where they just. Yeah, no. Compilations. Oh, we'll take the best from this album, take the best from that album, blah, blah, blah.
That's shite.
And so she had over 200 compilations of her work. She just, you
what
know, Wiki Discography had just a thing for the compilations. Huh. And I was like, I got to work out what it was. And then, you know, I Sherlock Holmes'd it because I was like, okay, it's got to have been a UK release, right? And I knew some of the songs and I tracked it down and I got the actual one.
The one that your dad had?
Exactly. And as soon as I started playing through the track list, I'm like, oh, yeah, this is it. This is it. And I was, I knew the songs even before they came.
You knew which song was next because you could just feel which song was next because you'd heard it so many times with the old boy in the car or something.
No. We had one little cassette recorder in our house, and
he'd play it there.
He'd play it off of that, but it always ended with "Lady Mule Skinner Blues."
Say what?
Mule Skinner Blues. It's like a famous old, you know, in country and western. Had a phase where it was okay, you know, like when it was like people, women with big hair and blokes in polyester suits.
Yeah.
That was classic. All this shite now is pop, isn't it?
Yeah, I don't know anything about it.
Oh, I thought you'd like country and western.
Well, I like Dwight Yoakam.
Hipster value sort of
no,
stuff.
No, I like Dwight Yoakam. But
the irony.
Not many. I like Lyle Lovett. But I'm not versed in country music. Dolly Parton to me, you know, she seemed like the Elvira of country. You know what I mean? Like, the music was secondary to her breasts, right? I mean, like, as a kid, she was only known for her breasts, right? That's it.
You mean when you were a kid?
Yeah.
It was just Dolly Parton. Like, Dolly Parton meant breasts. That's it. It was just breasts. But remarkably, this is the most remarkable thing I can think of. She never bared those breasts.
Yeah.
They were covered forever.
Yep.
Like Elvira.
It's tough to do.
Who also never bared her breasts.
Elvira, there's a load of stuff before she was famous where it's the full Monty.
Oh, really?
Yeah, you can look that up.
Oh, I didn't know that.
It's a project for later.
Is Elvira still alive?
Yeah, Cassandra Peterson is a real name.
Would you say that she is the Dolly Parton of horror movies?
I don't know, because I don't watch horror movies, as you know.
But isn't it remarkable that she never bared the breasts, Dolly Parton? She must have been, Hefner must have offered her millions to bear those breasts.
She was on the cover of Playboy with the ears on, but obviously, yeah.
She never bared them, though. Yeah. The only person that ever saw those breasts, Carl Dean.
Yeah.
Her husband of many years, Carl Dean.
At least you assume.
Yeah, maybe not.
Yeah. Maybe she took him to the grave.
Well.
I love the movie 9 to 5.
Mm. I still yet to see it. I was actually going to watch it the other night. But yeah.
It's a cracker.
What does that mean? Funny?
Yeah, it's good.
Yeah.
It's good. Dabney Coleman in there. He's grabbing ass, I think, throughout the film.
Yep.
When I was a kid, that was ass what Dolly grabbing. Parton was known for too. We always knew
breasts.
She's just got big breasts. But then you didn't start to appreciate her music and then learn about her philanthropy and
she's a remarkable
woman. Witticisms and all of a sudden you know your adolescence is behind you.
I know, but she's a remarkable woman in all those ways. It turns out she's a wonderful woman, mm-hmm. a wonderful person, human being. But unfortunately, I know nothing about her except that she has big breasts.
Really?
You're listening to
Feminist FM, where we keep it progressive.
That's how I was conditioned. Dolly Parton was the Elvira of country music. I'm just saying.
Did you know that not only did she write "I Will Always Love You" for Whitney Houston, but she also presented her with the Grammy for the song?
She did?
Yeah.
Really?
She didn't write it for Whitney.
Okay. Thank you for picking the one word out of those two sentences to really focus on that mattered the most. She wrote the song and Whitney Houston used it. She wrote the song, sat on it for a long time, and then when she heard Whitney Houston sing, she said, she can sing this song. So in a way, she did write it for her.
In the movie, Best Little Whorehouse, it's at the end of the film. She sings it to Burt Reynolds.
Oh, she does? What a movie. I got to see that movie. Have you seen that movie?
Apparently, Burt Reynolds was pissed off and mean to everybody the whole time.
On Best Little Whorehouse?
Yeah, because I think he was like, had just gotten divorced or something.
Oh.
Yeah.
He was married to Lonnie.
Do you know that Anderson. He turned down Boogie Nights, viewing it as tawdry.
He was in Boogie Nights.
I know, but initially they had to really convince him because that was his career comeback, wasn't it?
Yeah. I think he got an Oscar or he got nominated. I don't know if he got the Oscar.
Burt Reynolds?
He was
in Boogie Nights?
Yes.
But he was keeping it at arm's length like, oh, it seems a bit tawdry.
Yeah.
Fuck. Anyway, Dolly Parton was revered in our house and not.
Really?
Not for the Zeppelins.
In England? Not for the Zeppelins? The Zeppelins. Really?
Yeah.
In England, she wasn't just known for that?
Well, she was known for it. I'm saying in our house. Mm. My dad revered Dolly Parton as a
but
great...
not because of the Zeppelins.
No, because of the song. Have you listened to the lyrics of her music? It's very working class, hard scrabble.
Oh, yeah, sure. 9 to 5.
Good. Not that.
9 to 5.
Jolene.
Stuff before.
I hate Jolene.
Jolene.
Jolene. Jolene.
Most of her early stuff is about being poor, but being happy.
Yeah, yeah.
People ask all the time, when we do our dueling pianos, there's always somebody that can sing, you know? They come like, can I sing a song? Can I just come over there and sing one song? You know, sometimes they'll say, okay.
They want to do Jolene?
Oh, my God, so many times. I'm going to do Jolene. It's like, oh, come on.
Oh, you want to die.
This is gonna be the longest 4 minutes of the whole night.
Every woman at karaoke in England wants to sing I Will Survive.
Yeah.
That's like the one.
Yeah, that makes sense. The cake version?
No, funnily enough, no. The Gloria Gaynor version. The disco version. Dolly Parton's best song for me is one called Joshua, but it's very, if you listen to it, you're going to be like, someone's channeling Johnny Cash a little bit here, Dolly. It's a very crafted.
What's it called?
Message song. It's called Joshua.
Yeah, I never listened to any of her music. I don't know anything about that.
Well, yeah, because you're too busy posh boxing.
No.
Come on.
There's nothing to posh box to. Don't entrap me into these conversations. Well, R.I.P. Dolly Parton. What a loss. And obviously, on the same day or within 24 hours, the great Tim Curry also passed.
I feel
great,
like
great British legend Tim Curry.
I feel like Tim Curry got Mother Teresa'd in that deal
because of Dolly Parton. Steve
who died yeah. before Mother Teresa?
Who would be more famous Princess than Di. Mother Teresa?
Michael Jordan.
No, who's still Princess Di. Yeah. Princess Di died either the day before or 2 days before Mother Teresa.
And nobody cared about Mother Teresa.
And everyone just like.
Well, Mother Teresa would have it no other way. She wanted no attention.
Yeah.
Right. So maybe it was divine that it happened that way. Tim Curry. Yeah. I don't know. Would the world of, you know, really wept for 80-year-old Tim Curry?
I didn't know who he was when I started seeing Tim Curry had died.
He was really, the original It.
Really good at basketball.
That's the first thing I thought was the best.
Tim Curry. Oh, Mark Curry? From Hanging with Mr. Cooper? I like the background music.
If you don't think of
Tim Curry,
Rocky Horror when you think of Tim Duncan. Curry.
Yeah, Rocky Horror. Clue.
Yeah.
What else? It.
It.
The TV version of It. He was the original It.
Oh.
Yeah, he was quite good at it, too. Tim Curry. British legend. Was he from Mank?
No, he sounds London-y to me.
London-y, yeah.
Do you know who this is that I'm playing right now?
This is the stylings of
Billy Joel.
No, Charles Mingus. This is Mingus, right?
This is
Coltrane.
H. John Benjamin.
Yeah. Well, how would I know that?
The guy from Bob's Burgers. Yeah. He came out with an album called. Well, I should have learned to play the piano.
In Fred
which,
Armisen
in which
like
he hired a whole bunch of studio musicians to play jazz with him, and he plays an instrument that he doesn't know how to play, which is the piano.
I don't hear it. All I hear is that.
He's taking a break.
That stand-up bass. Dun, yeah. Dun, dun, dun. All right, well, who are we here to... Oh.
It's a segue.
Yeah, it's a segue to Tig Notaro. Notaro. I want to thank you before we start, one other thing, for helping me put on the Tom Kite license plate.
Oh.
I had to go over Geary's house. He let me come. No, it's on. I got the Tom Kite plates on my car.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
Has anybody said anything yet?
I don't know.
Has anyone
left
a note on your window?
Not yet. Somebody texted me, though. When did you get those plates? Not getting as much attention as I thought to have Tom Kite plates, but yeah, they're on. We had to drill some holes to get them on. Geary knew what to do.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah. But now I have my own drill. Now I'm not going to be able to call you to help me out.
They can leave me the F alone.
Yeah. I don't have any bits, though. I need bits for the drill. Where do I get them?
I might have some extra ones.
All right. Well, Mark, you chose us.
This sounds like the theme to Frasier. Turn it off. And scrambled eggs.
They're taking me home. One of the last performances I did at the Lodge was as Kelsey Grammer.
As Kelsey.
I did a Kelsey Grammer stand-up. I used to like to take
what
famous
did he
people and do stand-up as them.
What did Kelsey Grammer have
just,
to say?
He was just name-checking all the people from Cheers. And who could forget John Ratzenberger, who played Cliff. And I'd go through all the people on the show. I didn't really have anything.
Was Frasier on TV at the time?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. He was still kicking. Who could forget Eddie LeBeck?
That was a character.
Yeah,
the actor.
No. Jay Thomas as Eddie LeBeck.
Do you know John Cleese did a one-off appearance on
Cheers?
You remember that?
Sort of. What? What's wrong over there?
I just got the text.
About what?
All games have been canceled tonight. Our playoff game for the Lincoln
Lodge
Cottages.
The
no. have been canceled. This is our playoff, and if they do it next week, I'm not going to be here next week. I'm not going to be here next Monday.
Oh.
I'll be on a train coming back from San Francisco to Chicago. So this is a problem.
Yeah, I'm sorry to hear that.
Jeff, that one, isn't it?
You got Jeffed.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully you can carry on with this show.
If I miss the playoff game, I'm telling them we're doing the playoff game when I get back. I don't. They've canceled 3 or 4 games, and they control the weather.
Hmm. Oh yeah, that means we're not doing this next week.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, you're not here next week?
No, not next week.
We don't
Monday.
Have any extra in the can.
We do. We have one.
We got one, okay. But yeah, I can also. We'll talk about it after. I'll be back in time to do one before.
All right. Well, let's talk about who brought us here today. Tig Notaro.
Tig Notaro.
Tig Notaro. Tig. Tig Notaro.
Mm-hmm.
And Geary chose this one to gaslight me.
Nope.
As always.
Tig Notaro is a close friend of mine.
You are kidding.
We're practically best buds.
No.
So let me
explain.
You
don't even know Tig Notaro.
1999. It's the fourth year of the famous Chicago Comedy Festival.
1999?
At that point.
You weren't involved in it before this.
Yes, I was.
You were?
I came in on the second year. And I'm running car stuff, and I'm a general gopher at this point because we're, spread thin. So I first picked Tig Notaro up from O'Hare and drove her to Chicago, and we instantly hit it off.
Really? She's in the back seat or the front seat?
On the front seat. We hit it off.
Ford Festiva used to have?
Yeah, exactly. We're chit-chatting away, and then throughout the festival, every time she would see me, we would have another convo about something.
This is 99?
This is 99. And at the rap party, I spent most of it just standing outside Zany's talking to her.
Really?
And she asked me if I knew where all the good lesbian bars were in Chicago.
And did you?
I just said you'll have to go to Andersonville.
Yeah. The Middle East market up there.
Tuppence liquor. But so I'm basically her best mate.
Okay, so that did you ever talk to her after that?
No, but I'm sure she remembers.
Mm. Mm. I was hoping for more.
Nah.
But I didn't realize she was in that festival. Who else? Who are the other names of the 1999 Chicago Comedy Festival?
Well, I can't name by year. I can just name people I drove from the airport.
Well, who?
Top talent like Sarah Silver. No, we've been through this. Yeah, this is a repeat. I'm not repeating.
That's on the spreadsheet over here.
Yeah.
It is?
Yeah.
Okay. So she did well at the festival?
I don't think I actually ever saw her perform because during the festival I'd be running hither and yon.
Yeah. She's my age, or she's a little older than me, I guess.
She's 55.
Oh, she's 55 now? Okay. Yeah, so she was a young kid back then, or in her early 30s, maybe.
Well, she'd only just started out in comedy.
She was late to comedy?
Yeah. So the wiki tells me she started off as a musician. That's why she can play drums and guitar. Yeah. And then she went into musical management, which took her to L.A. And when she washed up on the shores of L.A., somehow she... I don't know how she didn't tell me this, because she's my best friend, but how she got into comedy. But at that point, it would have been 97, 98. So she come out of the gate pretty fast for us to pick her up and say, yep.
Yeah.
Fresh mug.
Made her a fresh mug at the time. And I'm guessing at the time there was a dearth of lesbian comedians out there, openly lesbian comedians.
I wouldn't say there
Ellen,
was a dearth.
Ellen might not have even come out at that point.
No, I wouldn't have said there was a dearth.
No dearth?
Comedy was
maybe a paucity?
Comedy was still a sausage fest.
It had to be a sausage fest.
Yeah, it was really hard.
That's what I mean. Like, let alone being a female, but being a gay, openly gay female would have been like, yeah. There was none.
It didn't seem like it.
In 99, you weren't
Blair
even
Butler.
Allowed. Was she openly gay? She was bi curious.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But back then it was hidden still.
Hmm.
There was no known gay people in 99, male or female.
Yeah.
I mean, confirmed.
Just anywhere.
Yeah.
I mean, I know they existed.
Just rumors.
I know they existed, but yeah, it was nobody was openly gay in 99.
Yep.
So, nobody. Maybe Liberace.
She was openly gay to me.
Okay. She was?
Yeah.
So, You like her. She was very nice to you. What did you talk about in the car? Do you remember?
Oh, just Chicago and this and that. Yeah. Nothing.
Where did you put her up? At your place?
No, she was at the main hotel.
Oh, the Blackstone?
The Ambassador or whatever.
The Blackstone that everybody was staying back then, I think.
Was it?
I think it was the Blackstone. That's still there. You all right over there? You keeping you awake?
Boring.
Is it boring you?
Yeah. No, I'm just joking.
Like in the special when she's at Ellen's party. We're bored. We're bored. Okay, so why did you choose her this time around, though, if not to gaslight me?
She's a big name. Yeah, I mean, mainly to annoy you, but there were other reasons.
She's a big name.
Because she's such a close friend of mine, I felt like I cheated her out of it.
Every week we learn of another friend of yours.
Plus, she's always been a comedian I really liked.
Yeah, you've seen a lot of her work, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
You have. She ever done The Lodge post-fest?
Nope.
Never came through.
She just got too big too fast.
Yeah. Yeah. When did she get big? What else did you come across on the wiki?
Well, she was broken by the festival, of course.
Yeah, the festival. And then when did she get her first gig? Did she ever have a sitcom?
Well, remember she had that problem. CK became problematic because he'd really championed her.
Oh, really?
And then she had to put distance betwixt them.
Oh, I didn't know that they were...
When his grabbing
linked
antics
that way.
Came out.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't know that they were linked.
No, yeah. CK was a big
Fan
champion of, yeah.
Okay, so this special, Glad to Be Here, is 2018, which we always, for the listeners, paint the picture of what was happening in 2018. Of course, you had COVID on the horizon.
Wait
not
a
having
second.
Hit yet.
What was the name of the special?
Oh, don't... Glad to Be Here?
Glad to Be Here.
What did you watch?
Hello Again?
Oh, how was that?
It was great.
Yeah?
Yeah. Damn it. Oh, man.
I swear. What year was that?
2024.
Oh, that's more recent. You can tell us what's going on lately.
All right.
We can tell you what it was like in 2018.
Yeah. I want to look back at the text and see how I fucked this
up. And in the text, you would put some smug, weird out.
No,
thing,
it was funny.
Like
it wasn't
above.
Smug. It was a funny thing.
Hey.
I knew you were going to get upset.
If there's going to be any smugness.
Yeah, smug's not my department.
It's me.
Smug right. wasn't the right word. But you gave me a cheeky, like, look up here.
Yeah.
And it was...
and I watched the...
Glad to Be Here. And you didn't even know it yourself.
Yeah.
All right. So 2018 is just before COVID. The world has not been arrested by COVID yet, and yeah, I don't know what else. Trump won.
Where was this shot?
This was shot in Houston, Texas, at the Heights Theater.
And I definitely watched the wrong one.
Yeah, sorry.
Damn. Well, see, that makes sense. There. That's why my segue song didn't make sense then.
No.
I'll tell you.
But you nodded when I said the joke about Ellen's party. You acted like you knew
what
I was
talking
about.
She talks about a party in this one, too, and I thought that's what you were referencing, and I thought I had missed a line.
An Ellen DeGeneres party?
No. I don't remember whose party it was, but I was just kind of figuring
just
that was it.
Nodding.
Yeah, I'm just going along with it. I actually don't have anything written
down.
Well,
now
that
he's out, what do we do with him? We just let him sit there?
It'll be like the good old days where I didn't have to talk at all.
Yeah. Just have a cigarette.
Yeah, but I'm going into a talk lockdown for 5 minutes. So
you are?
Let's compare specials then.
We will. Okay.
You two compare and I'm saying
No. No, you're not up.
You can't be
this
on a podcast and say I don't
stop
talk.
With that. This is your pick. You gotta do all the heavy lifting for this one. Tell us all about what you liked, what you thought about this special.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead.
All right. I liked everything.
Oh God.
It was really faultless.
You being serious?
The baby stories I don't really care about children and people's
you don't like
children
right?
And
but you love
so
cats.
That was too long. But it had good cat stuff.
How many babies did she have in this one?
Two.
Yeah, okay, because she talks about
she
her sons in this
now?
One. No, but she talks about her two sons,
yeah,
and you can
grown
tell they're
now.
Yeah, they're about 6 years older than a baby.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
I mean, there's nothing to say too much. Everything in it was good. Baby bit was a bit labored. The ending was genius. It was a stroke of genius. It was a piece of art, ruined only by the fact
that they did come out.
They did come on. If she could have ended that with them not coming on,
That would have been
flawless.
Did her family come on stage?
No.
Is that who you're talking about?
No, the Indigo Girls did.
Oh.
Are you trying to hope that the special was like the one that you watched? Like the family come on at the end of that one? Yours, I'm guessing.
No.
No,
that's Zarna Garg.
No, but that's they.
But you're confusing it with Zarna Garg.
Okay, first of all, I'm not confusing it with Zarna Garg. That's an ongoing theme that we have noticed in three or four specials already,
Leanne
where they bring
Morgan.
Their family on. Yeah,
she did it. She
yeah.
brought him out.
So there's no confusion here.
Yeah. Okay.
I'm making guesses based on the past.
You're up on your hind legs, right? Now.
Yeah.
Well, anyway,
I'm upset.
Anyway, that's the only downer of this thing. If she'd have ended without them coming on.
Well, let's tell Christian what happened.
The Indigo Girls
about.
Came on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did like a 15-minute bit about, and now the Indigo Girls, but wait, they're not quite ready. And like, all right, you guys ready? You really want to see the, and they, she kept saying they're coming
on. And are you
up,
thinking the whole
did.
Time they're not really here?
But no, but then she got you thinking, are they here or are they not here? Are they here? And she was playing with the fact. She was almost sticking a finger in your brain going, I know what you're thinking now.
That kind of makes sense for the ending of this one. Ah. She did a bit where she had, do you want me to tell you?
I don't want to because I haven't seen it. I don't want you to ruin it.
I can mute my mic.
Okay. Yeah. I'll just sit here.
So she found a note of genius and said, I'm going to play that note again then is what you're telling me.
Yeah. I won't tell you what happened, but she does something. And now it makes sense to me why she says, I'll bet you're thinking this to the audience.
Who's she bring out? Brandi Carlile?
So she's heightening.
Yeah. Right.
On the second go through of like, well, you saw the first one.
Yeah.
Now I'm going to do
Yeah. And I'm not going to tell you what happened.
But it was genius. It was like she was sticking a finger in your brain going, I'm pushing you ones and. The only thing that ruined it was the fact that they did come out. If they hadn't and she'd have ended it, that would have been... Or how she should have ended it is done all that.
That would be very nihilistic if she didn't bring them out.
Exactly. And I was thinking, I bet Bill's actually
liking
this bit.
I was. And then, like you, I hated it that they came out.
So what she should have done is... had them come out, walked off the stage in dark, like... Dim the lights on stage, have them wander on and be like, what the fuck? And then walk off again without saying anything.
Yeah.
That would have been an ending.
That would have been great. Not brave enough. Not brave enough for that kind of comedy.
She just pandered to the crowd by bringing them on, having them do a song. Yawn.
Yeah, that was
Come
bad.
On, you had greatness right in the palm of your hand.
Yeah.
And you let it slip.
Take a risk. You know?
I'm still friends with her. I do want to stress that.
Nobody's questioning that.
When she was doing that bit, I was thinking, I bet even Bill's liking it. For all his prejudice and hatred that he's carried into this, he's liking this.
Mm-hmm.
Was I right?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
I did like that until I didn't.
Because it was virtually nihilistic.
It could have been.
Yeah.
Could have been great, like you said, but it wasn't. Well,
what about all the children shite? You must have liked that. You could have related.
A lot of stuff about the babies. Yeah, that was pretty good. You know what I didn't like? And maybe, Christian, she does this in the special that you watched that wasn't the one that we watched. She constantly says the names of her wife. And her children.
Stephanie,
I don't like
Stephanie, Max, and Finn.
Yeah. Over and over. She must have said their names 50 times each. I don't want to hear their names. I don't. That's too personal.
You
Just
know
say
what
my
I think
kid.
That
my
is
kid
like?
Is like my wife, like Henny Youngman. Henny Youngman didn't say my wife, Marlene. He just said my wife.
But you know why I think that is? Because I think Tig Notaro has a very dedicated fan base and they want to hear her say it.
Mm. They want
to
feel like
closer.
They're
yeah.
part of the intimate circle.
Exactly.
With them.
She does start
Max
this one talking
Finn.
About her wife and saying,
Stephanie.
She said, a lot of you might be more familiar with my wife than you are with me.
What is the wife?
I guess she's gone on to big fame.
Yeah, she's an Emmy award-winning writer. And
of what?
Yeah, she's been on I looked it up.
Blue Bloods?
I don't remember anymore, but she's been
the
on
great
a bunch
show
of,
Blue Bloods, Tom Selleck.
Yeah.
Yeah, she wrote most of Blue Bloods.
And directed
her
it.
And Mick Betancourt working on that serial drama.
Matter of fact, her wife did direct the one that I watched.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Because the one that we watched, Tig Notaro was the director
and
the writer.
Directed, produced, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
How did you feel about Ellen having a hand in it, given your hatred of her?
Yeah, not a big fan of Ellen. No, I'm on record with that. I think episode 4 of this program will
episode 8,
that,
as a matter of fact.
Episode 8. Yeah. All right, well, I want to see how we can work Christian in here, considering he didn't watch it. But he did watch something of hers, right? Did you like what you watched?
Yeah, I was kind of interested to see how this was going to go, because I remember, was Tig Notaro at one point part of the Conan O'Brien family?
Tree? I don't know.
Yeah.
Was she?
Because I don't.
What is her family tree?
I don't remember Ellen, why, obviously. But I know when I was a youngster and I was first getting into comedy and I was first introduced to Tig Notaro 20 plus years ago. Right? That sounds about right. Yeah, she's been doing it that long.
Yeah.
I was instantly a big fan. Instantly.
You were?
Yeah. I thought she was great.
What do you like about her?
Right out of the gate. I liked the way she would speak, and I liked her stage presence, and I liked her joke writing. I just thought she was, I saw something there. And then I hadn't heard anything from her in a long time. Oh, you know what I think I'm thinking about? I think then Conan did something when she had cancer.
Tig Notaro had cancer?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She did?
She alluded to a mastectomy in the act.
Yeah. And I think Conan O'Brien did.
I know,
like,
she said she couldn't breastfeed, but I didn't know that was an allusion to the...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She had a really rough go of it. And then I think some special or something I saw.
She had breast cancer, though.
Yeah, and obviously it wasn't funny. It wasn't supposed to be funny, you know. And so I thought, oh, I wonder if she's just not really doing comedy anymore or what the deal is. I hadn't heard her name in years until Mark recommended this special. So I was very interested to see how, you know, Tig Notaro, somebody I've known of for so long, what she's up to now. And she started off with, as I alluded to before, with the Zarnagarg thing, et cetera, with Leanne Morgan and the other comics that would focus so much on their family. She started right out of the gate with, she said, also my wife directed this. Which now, had I seen the previous special, would have made more sense.
Yeah.
But this going in cold, I thought, oh boy, here we go. This is going to be about a family the whole time. You know, it's like, who cares? You
so
know,
a lot of family.
Tell a joke. You know, I don't. But
bits interact.
But I will say, 15 minutes later, after I was 15 minutes in, I realized I was way off. I was way off on my assumptions in the beginning. I was very enthused to find that she still has the same charm and talent and has not allowed any of her her skills to be eroded over the years. She still has that same twinkle in her eye that drew me to her in the beginning, decades ago.
You sound like very much a fan.
Oh yeah, she carried it all the way through. Yeah, and then she had it was another creative ending, which I very much appreciated.
Well, maybe when you get to choose the next special today, you'll choose the one that you just watched, and we could watch that and do back to back Notaro.
Tig Notaro was in Army of the Dead, which was a weird, like an action
Army of the Dead. Is that an Evil Dead movie?
Yeah, like a Dave Bautista zombie flick.
That's what I want to know about Tig Notaro. So, she, you know, over the past 30 years, what brought her to fame? Was it just stand-up, or was she in a show or a movie or what?
She replaced Chris D'Elia when he got canceled prior to the thing being filmed.
Who's Chris D'Elia?
He's a comedian that got in trouble for a little the age of his conquests, shall we say. Yeah.
But she replaced him on what?
Army of the Dead.
Oh. But was she ever in anything big? Any big show? Like Two Girls in a Pizza Place?
No, I don't think so. Or she was a professor. She was a voice in Beavis and Butthead in the Universe.
I love that film.
She's just in. She's been in bits and bobs, but she's never really, you know what I mean, to the great unwashed.
Who do you think makes more dough, her or wife?
A wife. Yeah. A wife's got a very stacked resume.
Okay. All right. Well, here's my feelings about Tig Notaro. Number one, I never wanted to like her all these years. And when you announced that we were watching her, I was not excited because I didn't want to like Tig Notaro. I don't like the name Tig Notaro. I don't know what nationality it is. If I learn a new name, right? Like if somebody has a name that I've never heard at this point in my 50th year,
yeah,
then that's just strange.
How'd you feel about Finn then?
Finn, I know that name.
I've never heard that before.
But if you have a name that I've never heard, then there's something off. And
Tig's
I don't
a
like
nickname.
It. For what?
Her real name is Matilda.
Really? Yeah. I don't like the nickname. I don't like the name Tig.
It's good. It's punchy.
Tig.
It's upbeat.
Yeah, I don't like it. And what is Notaro? What is that, Italian?
I don't know. I had a buddy named Josh Notaro when I was growing up. I don't know what he was. I don't think he'd
see what he is.
Yeah. All right.
I need to know what, you know? Anyway.
I can't type on this screen.
I didn't like her look. I didn't like her name. I'd seen bits and bobs of her act over the years scrolling, and I don't like it. And so sitting down, I didn't want to like this, and I didn't. It was not good.
Were you trying to build it up there?
I was trying to get you to think that I would be like, but wow, was she great.
Yeah.
Nope. I don't care for it.
Well, end of the podcast.
All right.
Have a good week, guys.
See ya.
What are we watching next? No, I'll say this. I'm being facetious. I like her dry, acerbic wit. I like her deadpan, mostly deadpan delivery. It's very dry humor. I like that. And she is a good joke writer. I agree with that as well. So I don't know. I want to hate her, but I don't. I think she's talented. I like the way she dresses. I like her casual approach, you know?
It's just her gender and sexuality you detest.
I don't know. I don't think so. No, no. But there's something I don't like. Here. I don't know what it is.
Did she dish you in the green room? Is this another Armisen situation?
I wasn't in 99. I was in 2000, so I didn't bump into her.
Beat you to the fresh mugs.
She beat me to the fresh mugs, but yeah, I didn't hate it. I didn't hate this really, but I just kind of watched it like this, like And I want to laugh. And the only time I kind of laughed was when she did that joke about we're bored. Right? Nothing else really made me laugh, so I don't know.
Do you think you're ever going to watch another Tig Notaro special? Let me ask you that. Yeah.
Nah.
Okay, if you don't, at least watch the clip from the one I watched from Hello Again. Just type in the Make-Believe Lounge. Type that in on YouTube. Just watch that clip. That was the best.
Lounge.
That was my favorite part of this whole special. I was really looking forward to talking about it. It's a great bit.
But
well, let's merge the ranking at least. If we can't merge the reviews,
right?
You got anything to say on the one that you saw?
Well, I don't want to spoil anything in case you go and watch it.
He loves.
Well,
Tig
he's
Notaro.
Not gonna.
Yeah, I'm talking to you.
I'm gonna have to watch it anyway because she's my best mate.
Yeah. Yeah,
he's not gonna watch it, so you're not gonna ruin it.
After you watch it, we'll have a talk.
All right.
But here's the thing. I started watching this last night, and I fell asleep halfway through on the couch. Then I got up this morning, watched the other half. I think, like you said, either a couple weeks ago or whatever, like, I'm just getting sick of all the stand-up, you know?
Yeah.
Aren't you?
Yeah.
Like, I don't care. I don't want to hear it. I don't, you know, like,
especially
can't get
your
excited
picks.
About it. What's wrong
Tom
with
that? Tom Segura. I don't want to see Tom Segura.
Yeah, I don't want to see Tig Notaro. Or whoever you've got queued up next.
I didn't think I was going to want to see Tig Notaro, but I was, like I said before, very happy
she's
to find
fine.
Out. And I watched it at 7:30 in the morning today.
You did?
Yeah, I woke up and this first thing
eating
I saw
salmon?
was
salad.
Yeah, eat my salmon, salad, watch Tig Notaro.
And you laughed out loud?
I did. Yeah.
Well, you
I
watched
actually,
a different special. Maybe it was better than this one. But I don't care anymore about any of this.
Well, it's an odd thing to,
is this
to be
is
doing
this
every
end
week.
Of the
this
podcast?
Could be the last episode.
Maybe it is. But
Wrap it up.
Well, no, we got one more because I spent so much time picking the special
we'll
for next
one
week.
One.
Man, we do the ranking first. Then, yeah, how many? And you won't get this reference. How many kitten ribbons?
That was a good bit. That was funny.
K- kitten.
I didn't laugh, but it was funny. Kitten ribbons.
How many?
No, she calls it something else, like
night night ribbons.
Night night ribbons. Yeah.
How many night night ribbons?
How many car cars? Oh God, sorry. How many night night ribbons?
Well, car cars brings us back to Dolly.
Yeah. Are you surprised though that Dolly never bared those? That nobody ever saw them?
I am. I'm
right.
No, I mean, if it was somebody else, maybe. But like, it's Dolly Parton. She seems like she's.
It'd be like John Holmes never having.
I feel like with Dolly Parton, I would be surprised if somebody had.
Had?
Yeah.
What?
Because she just seems so careful and above that.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it'd be like if John Holmes never.
She told SNL she wouldn't cuss and she wouldn't do anything about Jesus.
Yeah. Her whole persona is squeaky clean.
Squeaky clean.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, she must have worked really hard to keep it that way.
But would you say that she used her breasts to gain celebrity?
I don't think so.
No.
You think the breasts were just there and like everybody else made a big deal about them? And
I see a person.
She was just kind of hiding.
I see a person.
And she never flaunted
them. I see a talent. I see a driven.
I think her breasts probably brought her down.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah.
Brought her down. She should have had the back surgery.
Made her very down to earth.
Should have had the surgery.
Yeah.
You know, women do.
Yeah, I think she
remember
did?
That episode of Roseanne? Where Roseanne elected to have breast reduction and then she has a nightmare that they've actually made them bigger.
No.
That was a classic. That was one of the best Roseanne episodes ever.
That'd be a good pick. Let's do some Roseanne. Anyway.
All right. How many night night ribbons out of five? Go.
Well, 2.5.
All right. I'm going 4.
Four night night ribbons?
Yeah. What scale are you picking from your specific special?
Yeah, I'm going to go with, I'm trying to remember what she says.
You don't get a different scale. But we don't know
what. Yeah, I do. I watched a different special. I'm going to go with how many shuffling down the hallways do I give it? How many shuffles down the hall?
How far down the hallway?
Yeah, how many shuffles? I give it 4 out of 5 shuffles down the hallway.
So you're in the minority again.
Yeah, that's fine.
You're wrong. We're right.
I'm not going to argue this one. I'm not going to the mat like I did on that piece of shit Armisen special we watched. But, you know, that why all these specials that we're watching, and this is similar, Armisen was like around this time, 2019 or something, right? They got to bring out some musical act, right, to tie into... Like, oh, I love the Indigo Girls. Here they come. Oh, and then Armisen with all his favorite drummers bringing them all. Like, why does there have to be so much music tie-in on these? I feel like we've seen that quite a bit.
Yeah, we should go back to, like, Adam Sandler where it's just straight stand-up.
You're being facetious.
Yeah.
Because he plays music. But, yeah.
And he bought out who?
He plays songs, though. What?
I thought he bought someone out when he did his last special.
What do you mean bought? Oh, brought somebody out?
Yeah.
He
to
did?
Play along with him. A keyboardist or someone.
Oh, yeah. He has somebody in the band, yeah.
Yeah.
In his band. He's a musical act at this point, but whatever. Okay.
All right.
Right. That's comedy.
Okay. All right.
You
okay.
now know okay. everything you need yeah. to know about stand-up comedy.
This is the end of the show?
This is the end.
Yeah. I got to announce next week's.
Okay.
All right. So speaking of Roseanne, I almost picked a Roseanne special. I went looking through what was available. Yeah. As a matter of fact, first I was going to pick a Steve Martin special.
Okay.
Ugh.
Trouble with that is I couldn't find anything streaming. Everything is only audio that's available for his early stuff, not the stuff he just did with Martin Short. However, I did find one. There was one Internet Archives website that had the 1978 Wild and Crazy Guy. But it was sort of like that Rodney Dangerfield one that we watched where it was like a little bit of stand-up and then some stupid
variety
sketch.
Show.
And then, yeah, but it wasn't quite a variety show, but they kept doing like stupid like little like voiceover sketches in between, and it was just awful. So I had to ditch that one. So I thought, okay, who else am I going with? So I thought, you know what, Roseanne Barr. I'm going to go with the Roseanne Barr one. So I said... All right, what's a good Roseanne Barr one? So I started looking stuff up, and there's one called Live from Trump Castle, which I thought, ooh, that's interesting, you know, because we know her history with Trump recently.
You're this up. I just said we should choose Roseanne Barr, and now you're saying you were going to choose her?
It's written right here. As a matter of fact, it's written Roseanne Arnold, because she was married to Tom Arnold at this time.
I thought you were going to say Tom Arnold.
Yep, and so then I watched a little bit of it, and it was just god-awful. And I said, okay, well, what's the best Roseanne Barr special? They said the one from 3 years prior is the one that launched her. It was the predecessor to the actual show Roseanne. It's called The Roseanne Barr Show. And so I went and looked at that. And it's okay, but she's doing this thing where she's chewing gum the whole time, very loudly.
Act.
You know, and I thought, I know how that sounds because I do a podcast with Bill O'Donnell, and we're not going to want to sit through that for an hour. So I decided against that. I finally settled on Lenny Bruce.
Oh, my God.
1965. All that to say, we're going all the way back. There's not really a name to this special. It's just called Lenny Bruce's stand-up special, and it's on YouTube. It's an hour long.
Send us the link.
And I'm gonna send you the link. And I did a quick little perusing of it already.
Well,
I made sure there were no dumb.
What does that say?
And it's interesting because there's old commercials in it, like you were talking about earlier. Like, you know, cameras that were selling in 1965.
Lenny Bruce.
Yeah, I did that whole embarrassing thing when I first started doing stand-up where I was like, oh, Lenny Bruce is a, you know, when you're an idiot, you go, Lenny Bruce is the inventor of stand-up.
Sure.
And I read that tedious book that lasts about 500 pages that was written about him. And I saw Lenny, you know, the Dustin Hoffman movie.
Sure,
I just went over. It's embarrassing to think about it.
Well, you're studying comedy.
I've heard a lot of people say stuff like that. I think when I first started watching stand-up, people were always saying, you got to watch Lenny Bruce. And it was sort of I was in the anti-Lenny Bruce camp because of stuff like that. Of like, well, if everyone's telling me I got to watch this guy, I don't have to watch this guy.
Yeah.
Like same thing with like George Carlin, et cetera.
Yeah.
So personally, I'm looking forward to going back and seeing what this guy's all about.
Well, you know, I like that you did this. I like that you're bringing us way back.
Yeah.
Right? Like to 19, what did you say, 65?
Yeah, see what they were talking about then.
That's the earliest of anything we've watched?
It's black and white.
Mm-hmm.
Really? That's kind of cool.
Might be the only one that they did manage to get over.
I think so. It's the only one I could find video of.
Yeah.
Everything else was audio.
I had a Lenny Bruce VHS cassette. I wonder if I've still got it. It might be that special.
Yeah. Well, I guess we're going to find out.
Excellent.
It'll be like the Dolly Parton compilation all over again.
I don't know how it will be like that.
Because he's going to watch and go, oh, this is the one I had before.
Oh. All right, Mingus. I've got to make urine like nobody's business.
I'm going to wait for a good piano part. No.
What the hell's going on?
Hi, it's me, John Benjamin.
All right, that's
Who's
it.
John Benjamin?
Welcome to the second interlude of the album.
Oh.